From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Juno has announced its next vaccine clinic will be on March 23rd at Centennial Hall. The city will distribute about 800 doses of the Pfizer vaccine at this next clinic. Registration opens on Monday, March 15th at noon. Earlier this week, the state opened up the vaccine to anyone 16 and older who lives or works in Alaska. While most eligibility requirements were lifted, those who sign up must have been physically in the state for at least 5 days prior to March 23rd. Those who are not on the wait list, those who are on the wait list for the clinic happening next week are not automatically signed up for the March 23rd clinic. The clinic requires everyone attending to wear a mask. Eligible adults can sign up for an appointment at noon on Monday at juno.org/vaccine or by calling 586-6000. Anyone making an appointment on behalf of someone who doesn't speak English can email covidquestions@juno.org. Emergency Operations Manager Robert Barr says that most of the vaccines are provided by the state of Alaska and there may be additional vaccines. He says the city will know more by this weekend. And in other news, bands, choirs, open mic nights at the Alaskan, karaoke with your friends. None of this has been possible this year. But every Saturday afternoon since January, traffic backs up outside of the Holy Trinity Church in downtown Juneau as people line up for Juneau's new Choir from Cars. KTOO's Rasha McChesney decided to go try it out.
Is there life on Mars?
I don't know what I was expecting when I showed up to Bruce Simonson's Choir from Cars, but hearing dozens of singers launch into a choral rendition of a David Bowie song was not it. Bobby Mitchell and her friend Susan Loomis, though, are into it.
It's so much fun, and it's really bizarre. Yeah.
The two pulled up and parked right in front of the doors of the church. They've both been coming for a few weeks, and when I ask Mitchell why, she's incredulous.
Because it's the choir. So miss it.
We desperately love singing. We miss being able to sing in the choir. There's nothing like the sound of voices singing together.
So on Saturday afternoons, neighbors turn on their radios, people in parked cars grab wireless mics, and everyone settles in for this apart but together choir. The guy who's responsible for piecing all of this together is Bruce Simonson. He's the classic archetype of a choir director. Wild Beethoven hair that he's constantly tucking behind his ears. He sings all the parts.
Alpha ones are going to Mars. Is there life on Mars? And that's what the baritone or the bass part does as well. Everyone know where I'm at?
He's a longtime choir director in Juneau. He says this thing wasn't his idea. He saw some people doing it on the East Coast and thought it could be replicated in Juneau. And he made up the name, but people are calling it all sorts of things, like car choir or karaoke. He started gathering equipment in October and launched the whole thing in January. And there is a lot of stuff that goes into organizing it. There's a volunteer inside of the church in a tangle of cables. At a mixing board, he's constantly adjusting inputs and levels and fiddling with a recorder. But from the outside, the experience is pretty simple. Everyone gets a quick crash course in the tech. Here's Tom Melville with mine.
So that's our headphones. On 107.1.
And this is how I hear everyone else singing.
That's how you hear everybody sing. And do you need one of our
lights? I do.
Okay, you get number 9.
Simonson stands on the sidewalk with a music stand in front of him, and he leads the group.
Because I'm out here, and I'm actually singing at the top of my lungs.
It's pretty odd. You really can't hear people singing from their cars, so he's just kind of alone out there. A few weeks ago, though, he had company.
The Ravens, they were, like, singing along with me. They just were going for it, and I said, "Do you hear the Ravens?" And no, they didn't, because the microphones we use are very directional, so you can't really hear what's going on outside.
There's a woman who lives close enough that she can just stop in and grab gear and sing from her living room. Another one sings from the sidewalk across the street. And I finally settled back into my car and turned on the radio. It was weird to be alone, but part of a group. It was overwhelming. Simonson says this is normal.
The first time you do it and you haven't been singing for like a year in a group, it's really emotional. It's what's interesting is that like the first 20 minutes and you get kind of verklempt, if you want to use that word. But then people kind of like forget about how weird it is, what we're really doing here. And they kind of get used to singing in the microphone because you have to do that. And if you're not used to it, that's a different thing.
But then it started to feel like a regular choir rehearsal. People are cracking jokes and laughing at each other and correcting each other's pitches. And for an hour and a half in the sun, it started to feel normal. The best part is that you can turn your radio on and everyone's voice is broadcast in and you're listening to yourself in concert. For now, Simonson says they're meeting every Saturday at 1 p.m. until we can all start meeting in person again. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Last month, the state of Alaska's investment authority agreed to put $35 million towards pre-development work on the Ambler Road project. That funding was matched by a company that hopes to use the road to access mineral deposits in northwest Alaska. As Wesley Early with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, that company stands to recoup some of its investment should the road actually get built.
The private access Ambler Road would run roughly 211 miles from the Dalton Highway to the Ambler Mining District in the Northwest Arctic Borough. The funding from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, was matched by Ambler Metals, the company that hopes to use the road to access mineral deposits in the Ambler Mining District. Their most promising deposit is referred to as the Arctic Project. Ambler Metals will not be an operator of the road. That falls solely with ADA. ADA Executive Director Alan Weitzner says that as part of the contract with Ambler Metals, the company wanted an opportunity to get some of their investment back.
For their contribution on that $35 million, what they've requested is that they get a credit against what would be ultimately toll or use volume charges on activity on the road. And so we have agreed to that.
Basically, Ambler Metals would get a credit towards any fees for using the road. They would only get that credit if the road actually gets built. Weitzner says ADA hasn't officially decided to invest in the construction of the road yet. That's still a few years away.
We are currently in feasibility and permitting activity. We are looking to complete that by latest the end of 2024.
Weitzner says while the financing is still up in the air, it's not totally clear how much Ambler Metals stands to get back in toll fees, but he says it's very unlikely that it'll get the entire $35 million investment back.
I don't believe that that would be the case because of the capital cost of the road itself.
Throughout the Ambler Road's development, ADA has drawn a lot of comparisons between this project and the DeLong Mountain Terminal. That's a roughly 52-mile road that leads from the port site near Kivalina to the Red Dog Mine. The zinc and cobalt mine is owned by the Nano Regional Native Corporation and operated by Tech Alaska, formerly known as Common Co. Weitzner says that Tech and Nano worked together on the pre-development work for the access road, and that ended up lowering the amount of money that the mine needed to make to break even. He says the investment from Ambler Metals for work on the Ambler Road is similar.
They're the initial party, the initial user, we believe, with the Arctic mine development. And they're contributing to the final feasibility permitting activities that gets us to a construction on the road as our partner in that case. And ultimately, they're lowering the amount of capital that needs to be financed.
The Ambler Road has been a lightning rod for controversy for years, with environmentalists concerned over potential impacts to caribou migration from the road's construction. They also are concerned that the road goes through the gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. Weitzner sees investment in the project as a benefit to the state economically. He pointed to Red Dog Mine again, which provides a massive percentage of the Northwest Arctic Borough's revenues.
What I would highlight is that there have been, through three generations, 500 people working at the Red Dog Mine, generating revenues within your communities. It's that example, which is what we're looking to develop across multiple mines for the Ambler Mining District.
Weitzner says Ambler Metals will likely be the first commercial user of the road, considering its financial contributions and existing deposits in the Ambler Mining District. However, he says the road will be open to other commercial interests who want to access the mining district, and they will have to pay full fees to use the road.
That was Wesley Early with KOTZ in Kotzebue. And in other news, the Iditarod has announced its first coronavirus case in a musher at a major mid-race checkpoint. Minnesota's Gunnar Johnson tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday afternoon at the McGrath checkpoint. That's race mile 310, more than a third of the way into the competition. For more details, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.